Classic Country, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS. Good morning. This is Community Speaks, and it's being brought to you by The Prescription Shop. Stop into The Prescription Shop, where they are so much more than just prescription medication. Joining me this morning is Jennifer Romanowski, museum educator at the Gatchel Museum. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
How's everything going today?
Well, you know, it's just making sure all of our ducks in a row for our weekend events.
It's sort of the calm before the storm.
Exactly.
As this weekend is living history days, and you know, you and I were speaking briefly before we came on the air that this is something you've been planning since late last year. This doesn't just come together overnight.
It requires a lot of coordination and logistics to put on this event every year. You have to check on the availability, double check with them to make sure their schedule hasn't changed, make sure that we have enough space for everyone, that everything flows smoothly so that our attendees don't see us crying because we, you know, forgot something. You know, sure. We want to make sure it's as smooth as possible, so all they have to focus on is having fun and enjoying themselves.
Yeah, and this is a big deal for the museum, this Living History Days. Tell us a little bit about it. When does it kick off? When does it get started? What are some of the events people can check out?
This year is actually a two-day event.
Okay.
Normally in the past, it's only been one day. I don't know how many years it's been. I think we're probably up in the high tens or low 20s at this point.
Okay.
You know, it all harkens back to Jim Gatchel's legacy. He loved history. He loved learning about it. But he also wanted to preserve that history to share with his children, his grandchildren. And this is kind of a continuation of that. It's Jim Gatchel's Living History Days. We do it every year in June. From 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow, which is, of course, Saturday, we have free admission all day at the museum from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. The actual event itself is from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., and there's free refreshments and free beverages and all of these fun, amazing activities surrounding the museum.
Everybody likes free.
They do. And it's a way for our audience to connect with their ancestors, the homesteaders who came out here, the cattle ranches who established the ranches in there, the miners. You know, there's a little bit of something, and it kind of detoxes the technology that we're also used to and really get our hands dirty, so to speak, and learning how to pan for gold, because we have old sluices and old gold mines up in the Bighorn Mountains. You know, how to throw a tomahawk, because that may have meant whether you ate or didn't eat during the winter.
And it's just cool.
Well, yeah, who doesn't want to throw a tomahawk?
That's right.
Seeing our frontier blacksmith, you know, make nails. Doesn't sound very glamorous, but it's really cool because a lot of our people, at least here in Buffalo and Sheridan and the surrounding area, live in old houses that have been around for decades, if not 100 years. And if they've ever done any type of home maintenance project, they might have discovered some of those blacksmith nails that were used when the house was built. So it's just a way to connect what they've read in books, what they've seen in TV shows, what they've seen portrayed in movies, what they've heard from family stories passed down, and actually interact by doing these activities at Living History Day.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. And, you know, some of those things you mentioned, the blacksmithing is very neat. That's a lot of these, you know, like you're saying, take you back to a different time. And you don't see a lot of blacksmiths these days. They you know, most of the stuff they make is now mass produced. It's, you know, not as high quality in most cases, but it most of that stuff is mass produced these days.
Mm-hmm. So we'll have our frontier blacksmith, of course, returning again. We'll have our tomahawk returning again. We are also going to have one of our reenactors in the past. She is such a repertoire of information. She's done children's games in the past. She's done like family canning and stuff like that in the past. So this year she's actually going to do clothing. She's going to bring a dress model and show kind of the different types of clothing that women wore back then. Undergarments, you know, stays, corsets, split drawers, you know, pantaloons, your nice dress, your work dress, your trimmings, you know, all the things that a lot of people take for granted, because like you said, we can just go to a store now and buy mass-produced jeans and tops and underwear and socks. And back then, you had to make everything from scratch, so they had to be durable and long-lasting.
Or you just wear the same thing every day. That would be the durable and long-lasting
exactly.
part.
Well, you'd be lucky if most homesteaders, you were lucky if you had 3 to 5 outfits.
Yeah, it's, when you have to make them from... If I had to make my clothes right now, I would wear the same thing every day.
You had to make do or do without it.
I'd probably just find a sheet and cut a hole in it, and that would be what I would wear every day.
We'll have the Powder River Justice Committee returning, and that they give examples of the different types of firearms that were used during the frontier era of, you know, the West. You have a chance to shoot them. You just have to sign some consent forms to, you know, make sure you're old enough and you have permission from your parents.
And if it blows up in your hand, you can't sue them.
That's not going to happen.
No, of course
Our Faro dealer is always a big draw for the kids who doesn't love gambling.
Yes.
And potentially earning candy.
That's right.
We'll have our leather making. Brian Pickerel does a fantastic job showing some of the different ways that you can mark leather, especially for people from ranching communities where a prized saddle can be passed down generation by generation.
Well, the nice thing about the leather making is that still takes place today. I mean, you know, there's still quite a few leather makers
exactly.
out there.
Exactly. Yeah. And I can't say enough about our reenactors who volunteer their time. They're just a wealth of knowledge. You can tell they're passionate about their subject. And many of them provide takeaways so that you can continue the experience after the event is done. This year we have a historic printmaker who's going to teach attendees about letter printing. And then you can make your own bookmark on a second printing press that he's bringing.
That's pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we're very thankful we partnered with the community band this year. Jason Bennett from the Buffalo High School has put together a community band, and they're going to perform a mini 30-minute concert at Living History Day. And then at 11:30, of course, it wouldn't be Living History Day without our local Basque dancers. And they're going to perform as well. And the Bighorn Basque Club will be there selling their Lukanka as well.
All right. Well, sounds like a lot of fun. And is all of that stuff happening Saturday?
Yes. In addition, we also have a bookseller, a book signer as well. That's going to be Steve Raza, our local author. We are very passionate about interacting with our community and vice versa. And any time that we have a local author who has printed a book, we are ecstatic for them. We're excited for them.
And he's printed a number of books.
We want to support them. Exactly. We want their books in our store. We want to celebrate them. We want to share them with our visitors, especially since it is tourism season now in the museum. We're seeing anyone from locals to Germans and Swiss and French and Canadians and British and Welsh. You know, we're seeing all of those peoples coming through the museum now, and these books are a wonderful way to share the local history.
Absolutely. And so you said this is a 2-day event this year. So what's happening on Sunday?
We're very excited. One of the things that we try to do every year is we try to Living History is going to be here until, like, there's no one left to run it, essentially. But we always try to make it a little bit different every year. Because of our new temporary exhibit on Fort McKinney, that's kind of why we have the printmaker, that's why we have the community band. We want to, you know, kind of tie in that exhibit with Living History Day. So because a lot of people don't realize in the almost 20 years that Fort McKinney was established, 4 out of the 7 companies stationed there at any one time were Buffalo soldiers. There is a nonprofit organization out of Denver, Colorado, called the Buffalo Soldiers of the American West. They have been in operation since the late 1980s. So we are bringing them up. We're bringing up 24 soldiers and 9 horses, and they're going to perform a Wild West show on Sunday afternoon at the Johnson County Fairgrounds.
Well, that's very cool. Now, when you say Wild West show, give us a little insight. Well, what can people expect?
Well, first of all, it's going to be free. We can't thank enough our sponsors for Living History Day, which is A&B Bank, the Bank of Buffalo, the Johnson County Fairgrounds, and the Homer A. and Mildred S. Scott Foundation out of Sheridan. They've all helped in their way to bring our reenactors and create the 2-day Living History Day event. The what they're going to do, the Buffalo Soldiers, is they're going to do everything to music. It's going to be very interactive with the audience. They're going to share personal accounts of individual Buffalo Soldiers from the West. They're going to perform marching and singing drills. And then they're going to get on their horses and they're going to do firearm drills, trick shooting, sword drills. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
I've seen a few clips on their website or Facebook page. It's been a while, but we're just ecstatic.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And like you mentioned, it's always nice to bring a little new flavor to it each year, something that, mm-hmm. that people didn't get to see last year at the event.
It's going to be great for all families. It's going to be at the Johnson County Fairgrounds from 4 to 5 p.m. And, I mean, how often do you get to see a Wild West show with Buffalo Soldiers?
Yeah, that's very cool. And so how did that come about? Was this your idea? Who brought the idea to the table and said, hey, maybe we should try and see if we can get these guys?
A lot of sleuthing on the internet.
Okay.
First, their availability, which is why, again, we start planning so early, because what a lot of people don't realize is kind of a reenactor's season is pretty much the end of school to early September, and then traveling gets a little iffy at that point. So they fill up their schedules really quickly, going to festivals and programs. I mean, South Pass City does Gold Pass Days every year. There's like the folk festivals. There's, other museums that do Living History Days. So the sooner you can schedule them, the better. And just kind of working with them and just our excitement. And again, just the support from our community and our sponsors.
Yeah, that's awesome. I hope people take advantage of that and check that out. That's Sunday, 4 o'clock at the Johnson County Fairgrounds. And of course, tomorrow, from 9 to 2, all kinds of the fun stuff happening right there at the museum and right outside of the museum.
Mm-hmm. Two of the Buffalo Soldiers are actually coming up early so that they can specifically be at Living History Day to talk about Sunday's event.
Oh, cool. So they'll be there tomorrow?
Correct.
Very cool.
The rest of them are coming up in their semi-truck with all of the horses and gear, sure. Sound system if they need to use it. And so they'll be arriving late tomorrow afternoon.
Well, that's very cool. So that's Living History Days here tomorrow and Sunday. Be sure and check all that out. Also coming up, something people like every year is the Echoes of the Past Cemetery Tours.
Correct. We haven't released the official flyer yet because we wanted to wait until Living History was done.
One thing at a time.
Exactly. But we always have an amazing cast year after year. I can't stress enough how much work it goes into putting on these tours because they research their spirits. Sometimes they interview descendants to get some personal stories and get a feel for their spirit. And then they have to essentially perform a 5 to 7 to 10 minute monologue by themselves. They can't get any cues from the audience because it's just them. You know, it's a little stressful sometimes.
I would imagine, and it's very neat for anyone who hasn't seen it. I've been out there and saw this a couple years back, and it's very cool. And like you mentioned, the people that take part in this, they really know their stuff.
They do. So this year, so it's always the second and third week in August, because the first week is always fair and rodeo. And we all know how busy everyone is for fair and rodeo. And it's also before school starts. If you're not aware, Longmire Days happens to be scheduled for the second week of August as well.
Yes.
But we see this as an opportunity. You know, so many Longmire fans come in early for the festival. So we are going to kind of partner with the chamber and to those people who arrive early, in addition to our locals who come year after year. If you really want to experience Longmire, get a sense for the community that he came from. Willow Grove Cemetery has such a wealth of information, and every single one of the people buried there has some story to tell. And so we have this policy. It's like the only rule that we have is that you can only perform your spirit for 2 years in a row, and then they must rest so that another one can come visit us. And this allows us to always get a nice eclectic mix of spirits every year. This year, I'm very excited to share some of the names that are going to appear this year. And they might be some that a lot of people know. For instance, we're going to have Curly Wetzel this year. We're going to have William Ernest Eater. We're going to have Alice Carr Embry, Janie Adams, and a few other individuals that are new this year as well. For those who aren't aware, these are nighttime lantern-led cemetery tours. Like I said, the second and third weekend in August. The Wednesday night tours are the non-walking tours. This is geared more towards the audience who feel that they cannot perhaps handle the walking and the stopping and the walking and the stopping for essentially a 2.5 hour tour throughout the cemetery, or the ones who just feel they don't have to walk anymore. And it's really quite lovely. You can bring your chairs, blankets, coffee if you want. And we just set up right in front of the building where the directory is, that people can look up where individuals are buried. And the spirits come to us.
Because on the other days, people are actually going around to where these people are buried.
Correct. For the most part. If they're too far in the back, we have them visit and move a little bit closer so we're not walking
all
as
over.
Exactly. And those are our traditional walking tours, the ones where you're welcome to bring a chair, and every single time we stop to visit a spirit, you can sit down on the ground or sit in your chair and listen and fold it back up and carry it with you. Tickets are going to be $25. They will be available starting next week. Again, we just wanted to make sure that Living History was done, and then we'll go out and swap out our Living History Day flyers with the Echoes of the Past Cemetery Tour flyers.
Excellent. And you're doing something with social media with the Echoes of the Past Cemetery Tours.
Yeah, well, we're very active on social media. The museum does have a website. We do have a Google Plus page. We are on Instagram, we are on Twitter, and we are on Facebook. A lot of people use Facebook every day, you know, for upcycle, share news, get together with family and whatnot. And we make it a habit of really keeping you up to date on what's going on at the museum. It's a little hard. You know, sometimes some of my volunteers have to switch their dates of their performances. It's hard to continually update the flyer and get it out in the community where people can see it readily. So if you really are interested in staying up to date on museum programs, museum events, just museum news in general, exhibits, personnel, stories in the century, friend us on Facebook. Friend us on, you know, like us on Twitter or befriend us on Instagram, you know, so that you can get the most up-to-date news on any changes, for instance, regarding the cemetery tours, if there are changes.
And there won't be any Russian meddling.
Yeah, that's true. And the wonderful thing is every year, you know, God bless them, the Buffalo Senior Center allows us to do sneak peeks. So in July, and we'll post that a little bit in July, we schedule about an hour at the Senior Center in the evening, and it gives a chance for our spirits to dress up in costume and perform a little excerpt of their script to test it out on the audience, you know, make them excited to hear the full script at the cemetery tours. And you're welcome to attend those. Those are free as well. So we'll get that out on social media, and you're, again, welcome to come to the Senior Center.
Okay. And one of the things you mentioned with Living History Days is that it's free if people want to come and check out the museum tomorrow. It's free to enter. And one of the things they can check out is your store, as you've got some new merchandise.
Correct. Our newest employee at the museum, Kelsey McDonald, she's our museum assistant. She, you know, she's continuing our previous store manager's goal of really focusing on local and regional lines and artists. So we just recently got a kind of higher end jewelry line from Cody with elk antler and natural stones and whatnot. We also just got another line in of jewelry from Montana that's also kind of in between, and it's a little bit elk, a little bit antler, a little bit of sterling silver, really cute buffalo and arrowhead sterling silver necklaces. New books as well. We really pride ourselves on our wealth of local and regional history books. Whenever we get a new product in, again, we post that on social media so people are aware of what is coming in and what is going out. And one of the things that our museum assistant has started is an official, exclusive to the museum, Gatchel collection. Kind of our own line of products that are specific to the museum. Emphasis on some of our top artifacts in the museum. Right now, we have some nice items in a jewelry line. We're going to expand that in the next couple of months to a line of t-shirts, postcards, magnets, perhaps. You know, kind of go across the all of the different product lines that you could think of and, you know, make it exclusive to the museum.
Sure, that's very cool. And so people can check that out if you want to for free tomorrow. Be sure and check out Living History Days, 9 to 2 tomorrow. They got all kinds of stuff going on. And then on Sunday as well, out at the fairgrounds, out at the Johnson
Correct.
County Fairgrounds. I was drawing a blank there as I was trying to think of where that was. I'm talking with Jennifer Romanowski, the museum educator at the Gatchel Museum. Jennifer, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having us.
This is Community Speaks, and it's brought to you, as always, by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Keep those dials tuned, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS.